Radhe Radhe. It's 21st of October 2014, Kartik, the glorious Seva of Srimati Radharani. Vande Guru Paradvandvam Bhakta Vrinda Samanvitam Sri Chaitanya Prabhu Vande Nityananda Sahoditam Sri Nandanandanam Vande Radhika Charana Dvayam Gopi Jana Samayuktam Vrindavana Manoharam Amala Kamala Raji Sparshi Vata Prashite Nija Sarasini Dage Sayamula Saniyam Parijana Gana Yukta Kridianti Pakarim Snapayati Nijadase Radhikamam Kadanu. We're finishing the discussion of the 16 sevas of the Sakhi Manjaris of Radharani and their actions to give pleasure to Radha and Krishna. So this we talked about hiding the faults, instructing, offering a Sakhi, protecting the life of the heroine, rebuking and scolding. Now this is called revealing the feelings. In other words, having someone uncover their heart if they're hiding their feelings. So sometimes Lalita gets Radharani to open her heart and reveal her love for Krishna, especially in the beginning, in Purva Rag. This is very prominent in the Purva Rag stage. That's the falling in love prior to actual meeting and enjoying together. So Radharani is exhibiting different behavior that indicates she's fallen in love, but she's keeping it secret. She's a little shy about it. So then Lalita brings it out. So we can read the examples here. It's a very sweet service. This is having the heroine reveal her heart. Ridai udgata patavam. Udgata, these words, udgata means to move up, to bring out. Ridaya. You're holding something in your heart. What are you thinking? What are you feeling? Oh, nothing. No, I think something. No, nothing. So then, this is an example of Lalita getting Radharani to open up, as we say. Sometimes someone is very moody or they're showing some contrary behavior or absent-minded behavior. And you can understand by their erratic behavior that there's something on their mind or some disturbance in their heart which is affecting their ordinary movements and speech and behavior. So then you perceive that and want to uncover that and possibly help that person if they need help. So Lalita says, "Tell me the truth, Radhaji. Today you close your eyes. Don't be shy. What woman in Gokul has a husband? The path that you're treading is not tread by you alone." So this is again Parokshavad. So then Jiva Goswami says, he gives the phrase, "Radharani, who is there in Gokul who actually has a husband?" Then what's the answer? "No one does." So this is a joking statement to try to ease Radharani that she's feeling, am I the only one? Am I the only one in Gokul that's fallen in love with Shyam? I'm shy. Maybe I'm the only one. And I better keep it to myself, because if I let it out, everyone will say, "Oh, you're married. What is this? How shameful. You fell in love with Krishna after your marriage? It's a little late now. You should have done that before you got..." Of course she was, but eternally is. So then she's trying to make a joke and say, "Nobody's married here anyway. No one in Gokul actually has a husband. I mean, they all do, they're all married, but So it's obviously not true, it's a joke. So she, this joking statement is included in revealing the heart. So in revealing the heart, sometimes if a person is keeping a secret, they're covering their bhav or covering their intentions or hiding their desires from the world, but they really want to open up to someone or share it with someone, their secret love or their secret attraction, but they're shy and embarrassed. So then to lighten up someone's spirits, you may have to tell jokes also. Oh, it's okay, you know. I know how you feel, and don't worry about it. And then Radharani says, oh, really? Yeah. And then she starts to relax. So this is the whole idea, is to... In other words, what Jiva Goswami's commentary is that... In other words, Lalita's saying, listen, Radha, you're not the only woman in Gokul who has destroyed the path of attraction to her husband. And then Vishnu Chakravarti says, and then he indicates that this is Purva Rag. This is one of the four types of love and separation, Viraha, Bhav, the first one, Purva Rag. And then there's Man, and then Prem Vaichitya, and Pravasa Rag. So this is, it's all about separation. Is separation when you haven't met the lover, separation when you're sitting on the lover's lap, separation when your mind moves away from the lover, even if your body's near him, and then separation when your mind and bodies are separated. So these are the four types of separation, Purvaraga, and then this Man, and then Prem Vaichitya, and Pravasaraga. So Lalita's questioning Radha, because Radha is embarrassed to speak to her friend about her inner feelings of love. Because now it's what we call puppy love, or the beginnings of love, those tender, exciting, suspenseful and doubtful stages in the beginning of loving affairs, when a boy is falling in love with a girl, or a girl is falling in love with a boy. So Radharani has fallen in love with this dashing flute player from Nandagaon, Nanda Dulal, and she's a little shy to open up in front of her friends. Just imagine if you're a married woman and then you fall in love with someone else after your marriage. It's not exactly correct. And so you'll be pretty embarrassed and shy about it. But then your best girlfriend may detect your newfound attraction and perceive some waywardness in your heart. So then she may try to joke with you or make you feel at ease about it. I think you love your husband very much, but I think your love for your husband may be shared also. Is it right? What do you mean, shared? I mean, you know, well, you live in a joint family. Oh, you mean shared? I mean, my mother-in-law. Yeah, I love my mother-in-law also. No, I don't mean sharing your love with your husband and his family or your in-laws. But I'm thinking of someone beyond parakia, beyond. So then this is, she wants her, Radharani's in Purva Rag. So then Lalita says, according to Vishnu, Radharani, don't be so shy. Don't close your eyes out of shyness. Open your eyes, look at me directly, and tell me the truth. What is the real reason for your disturbance of your heart? Then Radharani very softly speaks, very hesitantly and softly Radharani speaks. Lalita-ju, the cause of my distress is attraction to another man. How can I not be shy to tell such a thing to you? So then Lalita replies, ah, what is that? What woman, is there any woman in Gokul that actually has a husband that she considers her husband? Nobody. She Lalita asks a question and she automatically answers it. She said, there's no one. Therefore, this famous dharmic path of being faithful to your husband, your pati vrat, it's been crushed by your feet alone. Every woman in Gokul has already done this. You seem to be the last one. Destroying the path of faithfulness to the husband by your feet, you have instituted the path of upapati by your acceptance of it. So there's pati, brata, and upapati. So pati means my lawful legal husband, upapati, upa means additional, an additional husband. So Lalita is saying, you have the traditional famous dharmic path is being faithful and loyal to your husband, pati brat. But your feet, you've already crushed that with your feet and you've established a new path, a dharmapat. It's called a dharmapat. A new path of dharma, it's called upapati dharma. My religion or my dharma is to run with my paramour, my parakhiya. I belong to another. So this is the service of Ridai Udgata Patavan, getting the heroine to open up her mind and reveal her heart. So you will have to do that. So you can practice now with your friends. Practice now with your friends. I think I've detected some infidelity in your eyes, the way you're glancing at the other members of the audience. So this is, and then she says, and then then Lalita Sakhi uses logic because she's so intelligent. She says, Radharani, don't you know that there's a law? It's called Nadukam Panchabisaha. Nadukam Panchabisaha. There can't be any happy, Nadukam Panchabisaha. Panchabisaha means there can't be any happiness when you gather together with five people. When you're alone, you're unhappy, miserable, lonely. You get with two people, it's okay, but it's too close and too much, not enough space between egos. So two people tend to collide very quickly, irregardless of the gender. But then, because that's what they say, two's company, three's a crowd. But in this case of logic, Nadukam Panchavisaha, if you get five, just imagine, if you get five girls together, what kind of crazy things you'll do. How much you'll laugh and goof and play and get so much strong and you'll get so much courage to go up to anybody and just say anything to them. But alone, you'd be like, I never say this, but then all your girlfriends get together and say, come on, go up to this person and say, like, no, go ahead, all right, hey! So you won't be unhappy. So Radharani's unhappy and she's shy and embarrassed about falling in love and Purva Rag with Krishna. So Lalita's detecting some unhappiness, some dukkham. She says, what are you worried about? She tells her in this verse, what woman in Gokul has a husband anyway, Radha? So, nadukam panchabisaha, when you're with five others, there's no cause for unhappiness. So don't think you're alone in Gokul, Radharani. Don't think you're the only married woman in Gokul, the only Brajavadu that's fallen in love with Krishna. Everyone has. 5, 6, 10, 15. So there's happiness in numbers. The bigger the numbers, the more the happiness. The more friends, the more happiness. Like Krishna can have rasa dance with Radha, and sometimes in the context of Ras Mandal, he just spins and whirls with Radha alone. But then he leaves her, and then she picks up her veena and plays, and he spins around with all the other gopis and thousands of gopis who are nothing but her energetic, ecstatic expansions. So therefore, there's more pleasure in numbers. Imagine having a feast of one. Yeah, somebody brings a big Mahaprasad chapan bhog. So here, sit down, eat. Oh, nice, you know. I mean, maybe Western people think that's a good idea, but at least in India, the idea of sharing, and the more the merrier, there's a phrase like that in America, the more the merrier, the more people, the happier the gathering. What's a party with one person? We're having a party. How many people came? One. Huh? Yeah, I invited all my friends and I invited 200 people. How many came? Nobody. Oh, that sounds like a great party. Who'd you dance with? I danced with the broomstick. And I put on a CD and danced around the living room holding onto a broomstick. I mean, it's not much of a party. A broomstick means a jaru, in case you're from India. So she's even using logic. She's saying, na dukam pancha visaha. When you're with five or more, there's no cause for dukkha or unhappiness. So you're in Purvarag as a young, newly married Brajavadu. Purvarag, beginning. Purva means prior, beginning, the beginning of love. So in this way, Lalita shows her expertise in the Sakhi Seva of Hridai Udgata Patavam. Having the heroine reveal her heart. And here's another example. I forgot to read the Sanskrit. The Sanskrit, well, this was nice. Anyway, next time. This one is Vayaste Samrajyam Sakhi Viranoti Pushpadanusha. Jite Sundariyam Trivanadrig Ashechana Katam. Nadasya Piyat Ochitam Vahati Parineta Parinatas. Tomeka Ridi Ridage Bata Vimushita Brajakule. This is Lalita. It's not said, it's just one Sakhi speaking to another. But we can think that it's Lalita to Radha. Although the commentators don't indicate who the speakers are. But similar point. And this is, again, the seva of revealing the heart. Hridai Udgata Patavan. To get the Sakhi heroine, the Nayaka, to open up. What are you hiding inside? Come on, tell me. I know. No, no. Like it's some brahmachari. So I think you want to get married. No, no, not me. No, I'm really staunch. No, I don't want to get married. You know, I'm a sankirtan. I'm a sankirtan devotee. And then 6 months later, may still be a sankirtan devotee, but now you go out and sell books with your wife. So that's also good. Another example. Hey, Sakhi, your wonderful youthfulness has expanded the kingdom of Cupid. So she's expanding the kingdom of Cupid with her youthfulness. And you're so beautiful that the eyes of all the three worlds can never be fully satiated by looking at you. That old, feeble husband of yours is not suitable for you, O Sakhi. Destroyed by your shyness, among all the girls of Braj, you are the only housewife who has been cheated. So this again is Parokshavad, and that Sakhi is saying, everybody else gave up their husbands in shyness, and nalajyam, they gave up their Lajapat, their Lajadharma, their shyness. Everyone else, and they just madly fall in love with Krishna. Why are you holding back? So she's saying, you've been cheated. Everyone else, you've been cheated because your Lajabrat, your strict attachment to shyness has denied you the great fortune of being kidnapped by Krishna, being stolen by Krishna's sidelong glances, Krishna Kripa Kataksha. So we don't know who's speaking, but Jiva Goswami, he says it like this. He says, because this word is vimushitasi, vimushi, vimushitasi, vimushita. Vimushita. Vimushita means either cheated or stolen. It's kind of similar. If you're cheated, that means somebody stole something. Like you're in love with some man and then he runs to some other lady, then you've been cheated, so that means your lover has been stolen by someone else. So then he says, he takes it to mean stolen. Jiva Goswami says, oh shy girl, you have been stolen. You are a stolen treasure. Or you alone have stolen or captivated Krishna on being attained by him. Now Vishwanath, he explains. He said, prior to the appearance of your youth, Cupid had conquered the world. It's a very nice way to say it. It's an amazing way to describe someone's extreme beautiful beauty, describe a woman's extreme sex appeal and charming, unbelievably attractive romantic nature by saying, before you appeared on the scene, before you became a young girl, Cupid conquered the world. But as soon as you became a young woman, then Cupid was conquered by the greatness of your beauty. He conquered the whole world, and now you're conquering the world. Except for conquering Krishna, Cupid's victory was complete. But now, with the appearance of your youthfulness, Krishna has been conquered. Therefore, Cupid's victory is complete. But one should not glorify your present beauty. Before your youth, when you were a child, you also were very beautiful. But now your beauty has attained a position of never completely satisfying the eyes of the people of the universe. So now, because that's what the verse is saying, that the Sakhi is trying to get another Sakhi to open up her heart and mind and find out, is she the only one that hasn't fallen in love with Krishna? Every other Sakhi and every other housewife in Vrindavan or Braja Gokul has fallen in love, but she seems to be resisting and holding back. Is she the exception? Is she the odd one out? She's so shy, she's so attached. So then she's trying to soften her up and compliment her, saying, you're the veritable kingdom of Cupid, and certainly you deserve to get stolen by Krishna. You're a very rare stolen treasure, and why don't you have Hari come and be the ultimate thief of your wonderful beauty? So this is his phrasing of the verse, and Vishnath gives his commentary. By glorifying the youthful beauty of that gopi, her young age and beauty includes glorifying all the other great sweetnesses of her qualities, the great sweetnesses of all the other qualities. So now another way he's saying it, all of that amazing beauty and youthfulness you have is wasted because you have an old husband. Your husband is so ugly and he has no good qualities. He's like an old animal with no power. Even from the time of your marriage he has been old. Imagine Sakhi speaking like that. She's a Vraja Bhadu. She's 14, her husband's 6, maybe 18. He's an old, ugly man. He's a coward man. He's been drinking 2 liters of milk every day and a kilo of ghee and 10 rotis and running after cows. He's a weak, old, ugly man. He's 18 years old. When he was 10, he could pick up a calf and carry it around on his shoulders. And then when he was 16, he could pick up a cow. And you're saying he's a weak, ugly old man? This is humor, obviously, to get her to laugh and then open her heart. Because when there's different techniques to get people to open their minds. So then the Sakhi, I'm thinking Radha, she says, what am I to do? That's my fate. That I'm so youthful and beautiful and romantically attractive and seductive, but I have an old, ugly husband with no power. That's my fate, that's my dharma. And then what does the Sakhi says? She says, "Listen, oh girl, destroyed by shyness. You're destroying all your youth and beauty by your excessive shyness. Krishna has qualities that are just suitable for you, and he's full of desire for your association, and he resides right here in Braj. But since you have not endeavored for his sangha or association due to your shyness, you have been ruined. It is not because of your fate." So then, among the women of Braj, you alone are being cheated. All the other wives have given up their husbands, and they attained the association of Krishna, enjoyed with him, and have made their beauty and youthfulness successful. You think that by giving yourself to another man besides Krishna is good and virtuous and dharmic. In other words, you're married and you feel you should give yourself to your husband and not to Krishna. That other man is your husband. So the gopi is saying, you think that's good. So don't get me wrong, I'm not advocating adharma. This is lila. This is the lila, the sakhis and Krishna, the transcendental domain with divine spiritual bodies and eternal relationships. There's no divorce, separation, murder, love murders, poisoning the boyfriend or poisoning the girlfriend. That's not any of that's going on. But this is all the humor, and because Krishna, they're all Krishna's expansions. Ananda Chinmayara Sa Pratibhavita Bhistabhirya Eva Nija Rupataya Kalavi. Brahma Samhita, Lord Brahma says, Nija Rupata Kala Rupataya. Nija, from Krishna's own form, have expanded all the sakis and all his energies, or his personal energies, his Ladini Shakti. That's Leela, it's their drama of love, their transcendental play. So this sakhi is really telling her, she says, you think that by giving yourself to another man besides Krishna is actually good, but this is a great fault of yours. Why? Because all of that beauty and qualities and usefulness that you have, which have been given to you by the Creator, have now become useless. And besides that, you have committed an offense to the Creator. Because He gave you all that beauty, and He gave you all those good qualities, and He gave you all that useful vibrance to offer to God, Krishna. But you're giving it, you've offered it to this old, ugly husband with no power? So then, because whatever the Creator gives us, whatever talents we have should be offered to Krishna. Mantan dan Krishna samarpan. So she's using that same logic. The Creator gave you all this beauty and usefulness and attractiveness, so why are you wasting it on some mortal being, on some ordinary mortal human being? You should offer it to Bhagavan, to Krishna. And that stands true everywhere. Whatever we have should be offered to Krishna. Patram pushpam phalam dayam. Right? Whatever, the flower of our youth, right? We should offer to Krishna. The fruits of our labor should be offered to Krishna. Krishna says, if you offer me a flower and a fruit, patram pushpam phalam dayam yo me bhakti prayachati. He says that, with devotion, offer a flower and a fruit. So the flower is the flower of your youth. And the fruit is the fruit of your endeavor. And the fruit of your good qualities and talents. It's another way to look at that verse, offer to Krishna, with devotion. And Bhagavad Gita. So please consider all of this, my dear friend, and tell me what you want to do. Then finally, this reluctant, shy, Laja Nishta Brajavadu, this newly married bride that was so fixed in her vow of Laja and Pati Vrata, shyness. She heard everything from her Sakhi, the logic and the situation. Then she said, "All right." And then she opens her heart and she reveals her heart. "Yes, yes. Let me also try to do this," she said, with some tears in her eyes. So this is a very nice exchange between two Sakhis, one convincing another one that it's really all right to love Krishna. Sometimes people in this world, they say, "Oh, you shouldn't love Krishna. You may take away from love for your husband." Or if you start serving and loving Krishna, because that's what happens also, because husbands are pretty intolerant. They can't really tolerate if their wives start loving and serving Krishna. And they feel that they're getting slighted or getting neglected. So now this is the next service is telling others, telling jokes. And we've been alluding to that indirectly and mentioning how different devotees, associates of Krishna are expert in the art of telling jokes, especially Vishakha. And this is another example here from telling jokes. 442. Okay, so this is called Narma. Narma means we have Priya Narma Sakis. They're very dear and they're very funny also. So this is Narma, which means joking. Deham te bhuvanantara la virala chaya vilaspa vilasa padam makatu halakancha lakshilatika chale pravesham krita navyam anjana punja manjala ruchi kunje chari devata kantam kanti birankita mihavane nishankam akarshati. This is an excerpt from Rupa Goswami's Vidagdha Madhav. Lita here is speaking to Radha. She's saying, Chanchalakshi. Chanchal. Akshi means eyes. Oh, Chanchalakshi. That's a beautiful name for Radha. Chanchal. Our eyes are always moving. Where is Krishna? Chanchalakshi. And so she says, "Oh, Chanchalakshi, oh girl with restless eyes, your body is the temple of splendor rare in the three worlds. Don't enter that tangle of tender creepers. That there's a devata living here in the forest called the Kunja Devata, Kunjaichari Devata. Chari, the word chari, like we have sanchari, this means bhavas that come and go. They're called transitory bhavas. Vyavachari, vyabichari, chari means to move, and chari, sanchari, to move together. Chari, these feelings and sentiments, they move alongside of the stai rati. So they're called sanchari, sanchari, to move next to or move beside or with the permanent mood of love. So there's 33 of those. Sometimes it says the ocean is the vast, deep ocean is like the ocean of one's permanent, eternal, eternal loving relationship with Krishna, the permanent loving relationship as his friend, as his mother, as his lover, as his Sakhi, Manjari, etc. That would be Madhur Rati. Then Vyavachari or Sanchari Bhavas, they're like waves on that ocean. They arise, they're caused by the ocean, and they arise from the ocean. And when the ocean produces waves, and and wind also, and when the waves are produced, then the ocean changes its features. It becomes moving more and swirling waves going here and there. So these emotions rise up, so they're called sanchari. So chari means to move. Kunja chari. Kunjachari Devata. There's a Devata that's moving in the Kunjas. And what does he look like? That Devata has a beautiful complexion, shining like kajal, or like lamp black. Here it's called Anjanapunja. Anjanapunja Manjula. Lamp black means when you have a kerosene or an oil lamp, and you have a glass above it, and there's a wick inside, a wick, a piece of cotton, and that the flame is on that wick, and it gives up smoke, and the smoke is collected in the glass, and it's black. It's called soot, or lamp black. So it's very shiny, and that's what they use to make kajal out of, kajal. But they burn ghee, and then they catch it with a clay. You know how to make ghee? You know how to make kajal? No. I mean, what they do is they have like a diya, like you see here now is Diwali. They have some little clay dish, and there's some pure cow's ghee in there, ideally. Probably all chemicals in the market, mascara or whatever they call it. It's pure ghee, and then you put a little cotton, like a ghee wick, then you light it, and then it gives off flame and smoke. And then above it, you suspend, and that's not, maybe there's some way they do it in the village, I haven't seen, but I made, so I know. So it was impromptu. So above it, you take another ghee lamp, a dry one, clean one, and you put it upside down like an umbrella, like a chatra, like a hood or an umbrella, and it's above it, so you can just use some, put some bricks. What I did is I had one about this big. I just put bricks on the outer side of it, like this, a brick here and a brick here, okay, like this, and it's suspended. So then the smoke from that ghee, that you light the ghee, then the smoke goes up and catches inside the top one. It's like you go in these old temples, and there's all black stuff all over the ceiling, you know, where they cook with wood and everything. That's called lamp black. I mean, it's soot. It's very shiny, very oily, and we would consider it filthy, dirty. But, you know, in the West, we clean all that stuff in the kitchens every day. But so that's how you make it. You catch it in that clay thing, and then as it burns, it accumulates more and more. Then you take it out, and of course, in your other form, then it's very nice and very cooling for the eyes and very healthy for the eyes. That ghee, that carbon and the ghee, when it's with the heating effect of the Agni, because there, in Ayurveda, in the human body, there are maybe five fires, but there's at least three that I remember. There's Jatar Agni. That's called the fire of digestion. The Hum Vaishwanaro. It's called Vaishwanaro in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, I am Vaishwanaro, the fire of digestion. Aham Vaishwanaro Bhutva Pranidam Dehamashrita Prana Pana Samayuktam Pancham Yanam Chaturvidam. This is a mantra that Brahmins chant after they have chakachak bhog. After they have chakachak bhog, they rub their belly. This patrak, after Krishna eats, he walks 100 steps after his meal. Then he lies on his left side in his bedroom. Then patrak comes, or a mandri also, depends on the situation, and rubs his belly slightly. So the Brahmins, they'll rub their belly and chant this mantra from Bhagavad Gita. Hum Vaish, it's in that chapter about I am this and I am that and all this Vibhuti chapters. The Hum Vaishwanaro Bhutva Praninam Dehamashrita Pranapana Samayuktam Pancham Yanur Chaturvidam. With the incoming and outcoming breath, I digest the five kinds of foodstuffs, Pancha Yanam, Anam, Pancha Anna. Anyway, so. So I was talking about fires, Ayurvedic fires. So there's a fire in the stomach, then there's a fire in the eye, it's called Ak Agni. And there's a fire in the brain called Di Agni, D-H-I-D, intelligence, Buddhi. So when one becomes old, then his vision becomes weak, his digestion becomes weak, and his brain becomes weak. He becomes senile or all these different, he forgets things and whatnot. Because a fire goes down, it's a balance of kapha, pitta, and vayu. Pitta means the fire element in the body. It's a natural degeneration of the human body. So now the Ayurvedic system is to increase the fire element by administering different Ayurvedic dawa or medicines. So when one's vision is weak, then they give some medicine for the eyes, which increase the agni. So this. I'm talking about this kajal because it's made from fire. It's produced by fire, the smoke. that fire that's actually mixed in the production of kajal, the ghee and the fire and the smoke, it has so much heat element there, so much agni. So when you put it around the eyes, I mean, we don't. It's like for ladies, no. And Indian men also, but with white skin, it looks a little strange. So, I mean, even white women wearing kajal, I think it's... I mean, everyone does. It's part of beauty, but like we call it mascara or whatever. So that element of kajal is very healthy for the eyes. So this is how the gopis make it like this, all these clay, all natural things. So we have to learn many arts when we go there. So this Kunja Devata, this Kunjachari Devata, this Sakhi is warning this girl. She's saying, because this is a joke, remember, this is a service of Narma, joking. She said, hey, Chanchalakshi, Lalita speaking to Radharani, because Radharani's looking this way and that way, because she's running through the forest looking which kunja Krishna's hiding in. And then she wants to enter into one of those kunjas through so Lalita said, Lalita's running right beside her, and she said, hey Chanchalakshi, because Radharani's looking like, where is Krishna? Because his avisar, the love journey, and Krishna's already gone to the kunja and prepared it with his own hands, as described in Vilapkusamanjali. And then now Radharani is going for the rendezvous, lover's tryst. And Lita's right beside her and says, hey, Chanchalakshi. She's so eager and so excited. So her eyes, he's there, where is he? And then she says, your body is a temple of splendor rare in the three worlds. Don't get entangled don't enter that tangle of tender creepers. So that's a play on words, and again, it's Parokshava. A tangle, means of tender creepers means the all these Madhavi latas and Malati latas and Madhavi, they're all intertwined like this with the bushes, and it's all a tangle. It's entangled, like your hair gets entangled this way, that way. So don't enter there, that tangle. But then it's indirect speech. It's Parokshava, because it also means, because your arms are like tender creepers. And if you enter that kunj, then your arms will get entangled with the arms of that snake, Punjanga, which is Krishna. So she's saying, and be careful, because there's a devata who's, what color is he? He's the color of kajal. Kajal, because sometimes it's explained in the shastras that Krishna's his transcendental complexion shines like kajal. It's black, it's bluish black, but it's very glossy. It's snigda, it's very glossy and attractive and effulgent and radiant, because it's not just superficially radiant, but it's backed by so much ujula, prema. So the prema is shining out through his skin, or not skin as we know it, but his transcendental divine form, to give him an incredible radiance. In Radharani's case, it's called Lavanya Sara. She's the essence of Lavanya. Lavanya is that incredible, soothingly attractive and natural glow that emanates from real pearls. A real pearl, when you look at it, there's a glow coming from the inside. So that glow coming from the inside is the glow of love. In this case, it's Ujvala Vishuddha Prem of Krishna for Radha. So it makes him so... his complexion is so resplendent and attractive. Just like when one is young, they have a natural glow to their face. The more pure they are, or if they're really in love, there's such a glow in their eyes. Their eyes are radiant with loving attraction for some person of this world. So Krishna is totally alive with loving attraction for Radharani and all the Sakhis. So this is telling a joke, so Vishwanath, he paraphrases it. He says, Lalita speaking to Radha. Oh, Radha, you are the abode of pastimes, vilas, and beauty, very rare in this world. Once you enter the creepers in this kunja, it will be impossible to get out, since they are a network. He says, Oh, Chanchalakshi, Latika Jale. Latika jale praveshon krita. kripa, pravesh means once you do the action, once you enter there into these latikas, into these kunjas, then it's a jal. You ever hear this phrase? Sharira avidya jal? This body is a network of maya or illusion, whatever it is. Sharira, this body. Avidya is jal means network, a net, like a fisherman's net. You see the net is like this. So when a fish enters that net, he's trapped. He can't escape. The holes are too small in that network. So this is the network. Every day we're glorifying the network before we honor prasadam. Every day we glorify the net before we take prasadam. Sharira avidya jal. This sharir, this body, is a network of ignorance. Sometimes you say it's a lump of ignorance. And all the senses are, what is it? Pathways leading to hell or something. I forget the translation. Sharira avidya jal jatendriya tega. So this is joking. It's funny. Radharani would laugh when she would hear this. And that's the service. The service is to make Radharani laugh. Of course, we're not so much tanmoy with this discussion, so we're not laughing. So we're not identifying with Nalita Sakhi or Radharani because we're not on that level. But we can appreciate joking. Everyone likes to tell jokes and hear jokes and laugh. As I mentioned a week ago or so, that there's 8,400,000 species of living entities in this world, and millions of varieties. But out of all of those unlimited living entities, flying, walking, slithering, crawling, digging, and wherever they are, however they're moving, only one of them laughs. That's us, the human beings. And I guess no one else has anything to laugh at. They're all quite, every other living being, every other living entity is quite serious about four things. Ahara, nidra, maitun, bhayam. Eating, sleeping, bathing, and defending. But human beings are very serious about those things, but sometimes they kick back and enjoy and laugh a little bit. Or they laugh about those things. Laugh about eating too much or sleeping too much or whatever. So this is a service of telling jokes. Now this is called Kale Sangaman. Sangamanam. Kale, of course, means Kale, means time. Sangha means to meet. Sangamanam. This is uniting the lovers at the appropriate time. It's amazing how here, of course, there in the spiritual world, we're using this concept of time. But we read in the Brahma Samhita by Lord Brahma that says time is conspicuous by its absence. In the spiritual world, there isn't any time. It's a timeless realm. It's an eternal present. It's when people try to describe the spiritual dimension, it's very difficult because we are linear beings. We are functional entities moving through time and space. And there's no limitations of time or space. Space is everywhere. You can find that when you read in the Bhagavatam, throughout the Bhagavatam, that someone is somewhere in Dwarka. Krishna may be in Hastinapur, and the Pandavas are Krishna's in Dwarka, and the Pandavas in the forest, and they're Agyatvas. And there's some circumstance where Kunti or Draupadi, she said, oh, we don't have anything to feed the sages at Durvasa, and what to do, my Akshay Patra, I've already eaten and served out, and now I can't feed anyone else. She said, oh, Krishna, please, Krishna, save me, Krishna, Krishna. All of a sudden, Krishna's standing there. That's the sequence when you read the Bhagavatam. She's in Kamyavan or some forest, a brudge, I believe, and the Durvasas came with his 60,000 disciples, and he said, we want something to eat, Draupadi. And she said, yeah, no problem. Because she has this Akshay. Akshay means inexhaustible. You would like to have an ATM card like that. Akshay ATM card. Inexhaustible. You take out 10,000 euros today, and then you can take out 10,000 tomorrow and every day forever. That's nice. that would suit you or anyone. If it's a guru, you take it out and make a big ashram and whatever. Everyone that has their ideas, they would use that for Krishna service. And of course, we don't have that. Or some people do, but So that's Akshay. A patra means it has different meanings, but it means her pot. She had a particular cooking pot. And she hadn't eaten from it, and she could just keep serving out. She serves the Pandavas. See, that's why sometimes they have, for food for life, Akshay Patra is a good idea. It's an endless pot of food, a pot of food that never ends. So if you have an Akshay Patra, you can feed everybody forever. So she had that special pot given to her somehow or other. I don't know, there's some story. So they all arrived, and then she had already eaten, and then so she was in a great dilemma, because Yudhisthira, if you don't serve a sage, then it's a big offense. So he told them all, he said, go bathe in the Yamuna and come back and we'll feed everyone. So then Draupadi said, oh, Pati, Yudhisthira is her husband. Oh, Pati, I've already eaten. And once I've eaten, then this doesn't work. You know, only after I cook and make an offering and I haven't eaten, then this pot works. Oh, no. You know, and then she started praying, oh, Bhagavan, hey, Bhagavan. And then Krishna just appeared there. Oh, you're here. Oh, yeah. And he said, bring me the pot. And they looked in the pot, and there was one tiny bit of rice in the corner. Krishna took it and ate it. Then immediately, Durvasa Muni, when they were there with all his disciples, they were bathing in the Yamuna. It was around noontime, and they would come back and have chak-a-chak bhog from Draupadi's Akshay Patra. So once they bathed, all the disciples said, oh, Gurudev, this is a phenomenon, because the opposite thing has happened. Generally, after you bathe, maybe because these are all black and the fly is black, maybe he's attracted. If we paint them all white, white microphone and white, then the fly won't come here all the time. Just come. This is a perennial bliss. Akshay Anand. At any rate, what was it? It's the opposite of things. It's the opposite of what usually happens. They said, oh, Gurudev, usually when one takes a cold bath, and they feel very hungry afterwards. And then this is the system for good digestion. You take a bath and purify your body, settle down all the passions, and then your appetite even goes even greater than it was when you passionately started cooking. But usually we're very hungry, we passionately cook and get more excited to eat and forget about bathing, we just offer and eat. But if we cook and then offer, and then while the offering's going on, we take a bath, we will cool down our brain and our heart will be in a sattvic position. And we'll still have a great appetite when we come out of the cold bath. So that's actually the sattvic way to cooking and honoring prasadam. But there's the rajasic way. Just cook it and five-second offering. Whatever it takes, but only eat prasadam, which is offered to Krishna. That's the main thing. Put your mind in Krishna's feet, and then you'll be successful. So then they came out of the bath and said, we're not the least bit hungry. We feel completely full. We don't know what it is. We were so hungry before we bathed. We're twice as hungry now. What to do? Oh, no. Durvasa Muni's thinking, Draupadi made a big feast for everyone. And if we don't go, it will be an offense. And Yudhisthira, they're Pandavas, and Kshatriyas get angry. They get easily angry. And Bhima's there, and Arjun. Oh, come on, listen. Suno, let's get out of here fast. So all Durvasa Muni and all the rishis, they immediately lickety-split. They took off as fast as they can. They left that place. And then Draupadi was saying, where are they? They're not coming. And Krishna just smiled and looked at Draupadi and said, don't worry. Once you've fed me and satisfied me, then you've satisfied the whole universe. They're completely satisfied. No, you satisfy them. So this, in this description of Bhagavatam, in many places, Krishna, the devotees in Hastinapur, and then one minute, and there, Krishna's in Dwarka, and they're saying, oh, if Krishna could come. Next, oh, Bhagavan, you're here. He just, what we call, materializes. So therefore, if you read closely the Bhagavatam, you'll see that in the pastimes of Krishna, where although the other members of the Bhagavatam, they may be subject to time and place, but Krishna is not. Because in Krishna's realm, there is no time, time and space. There's no time and no space. Like some people say, where is the spiritual world? Oh, it's up there. Spiritual world is everywhere. It's unidirectional. Because consciousness is everywhere. Where's Goloka? It's there. Because it's a state of consciousness. It's a reality, but it's a state of consciousness. It's a consciousness plane. So when you start talking like this, people say, I thought it was a planet, and you got in a spaceship, and you went there, and then you slowly landed, then you got out, and you walk around, and you say, hey, wow, you finally got here, welcome, you know. It's not like that, it's just, you enter there, it's a whole realm of consciousness. So this is the service of uniting the lovers, and the example is given here, and here. Kale Sangamanam. Uniting lovers at the right time. Visariya Virha Klamabidam. Lochanotpalavalad Brahma Ralim. Radhika Komadinam Vidunyayam. Samyunakti Lalitara Sandhya. The beautiful twilight has united the pond of night lotuses. Radha, pained by separation caused during the day, filled with bees, enjoying the delightful lotuses with the moon. Anyway, the second translation is, which the first one is a little difficult to even understand because the English is upside down. The Lita has united Radha, who is pained by separation during the day with Krishna. So it says here, that, and the phrase about the lotus and all that is that Radha's lotus eyes are covered by the locks of her hair. So this is Rati Manjari giving the news to Rupa Manjari. She's saying how, this is Vishwanath's explanation, that he's telling how Lita united Radha with Krishna, and that's the service of Sakis, will bring Radha to Krishna, or unite them at the right time. So this is an example, and this is the only example that is given there. And now I think that concludes the 16 sevas, and then we'll start tomorrow. May have a little bit of carryover. There's some individual sevas that are mentioned, and there's some in this one book I have. It has some different prayers for sevas given by the different acharyas, so we can read that. And tomorrow we'll go through, continue the sevas of Radharani based on Vilap Kusumanjali and the commentaries there by Anantadas, Srila Anantadas, and very nice commentaries. And we can. We're going to focus on the sevas that Rati Manjari, in his mood of a sadhaka, he's teaching us how to meditate and how to aspire for seva, all these different sevas, and specifically the Madhyan seva at Radhakund, because we're here at Radhakund, and we'll hear about these things, the sevas of Radhakund, which are in verse 68, from Vilap Kusumanjali 68 to 81. So we'll discuss those verses, and then verse 15 is in that Vilap Kusumanjali, he begins to describe Radhakund, and we'll start that tomorrow. But there's some nice sevas here mentioned here about it's kind of a review of what we discussed. So besides these 16 activities, there are many other things that Radharani's Manjaris and Sakis can do, such as glorifying the qualities and glorifying the beauty and sweetness and love of Radharani, investigating the activities and intentions of the other competing Nayakas. So these are 16 main categories. So, these are called other types of services, but as I mentioned, these 16 categories have so many subcategories. For example, one of the categories was Sandesh, or carrying messages, delivering messages from Radha to Krishna or Krishna to Radha, etc. And that carrying messages also includes carrying love letters, also includes spying on the rivals, where are they going, or is Chandravali coming here towards the Kunja, and where is Jatila coming, or any superiors coming here. So spying, that's all included in giving messages and carrying messages. Because spying is you see something and then you go back and give a message. You carry a message and says, guess what I saw? So this list here. Investigating the activities and intentions of the rival party, Radharani's enemies. So that means that you act as a spy. So there's even espionage and spying up there in the leelas of the Lord. Then bringing food that Radha has prepared to Nanda Maharaj's house. And that's so much a part of the Govinda Leelamrita. Because in the afternoon, of course, in the morning, Radharani goes there and she cooks. But in the afternoon, and the Aparan Leela, when she returns, she also cooks so many sweets for Krishna's evening meal. And then she dispatches a mandri, like Rupa Mandri or Rati Mandri, to carry these sweets to Nandagram, because Radharani doesn't go there in the evening to Nandagram. So that's also, that's just a personal seva to Radharani. That's listed as, there's many services you'll see when you read Govinda Leelamrita. The reason there's so many flies here because all the neighbors have animals, you know, and the animals, they have some biological functions. So there's, because I've lived in many neighborhoods in Vrindavan, and if if there's no animals around, there won't be too many flies. But here it's special village flavor. Bringing food which has its good side also. Bringing the food Radha's prepared to Nanda Maharaj's house to be served and returning with his remnants relished by Krishna or her. And finding out what Krishna is doing from Subal and Dhanishta. So again, all these type of, I would call these subsidiaries mostly of bringing the news and carrying messages. Because sometimes, some mandris, it's described that they also assist in Krishna's bathing, and they bathe him and dress him, and they're there with him, and later they return to Varsana or Yavit, and they tell Radharani, she says, oh, I just came from Nandagram, and we were bathing Krishna. Oh, really? Did he say anything about me? Well, his mother was there, but then she stepped out, and then it was just some sukkas and some mandris, and we were bathing him. And Yashoda, and we were there, and we thought that we were there when undressing Krishna and preparing for his bath, and we thought that Mother Yashoda would ask us to leave at that time. But she said, she looked at us and said, oh, you're just young girls. You can stay here with the sukkas, and you bathe Krishna, but quickly bathe him and dress him so he gets to breakfast on time. So this is told in Govinda Leelamrita that Yashoda, because she has no idea about the Madhurya Rati and all these things, she's in her own world of motherly love, absorbed there. So she doesn't think that Krishna may flirt with these mandris or he may sport with them, or doesn't think anything like that. They're just 10 little girls, and they're just like her little daughters or Krishna's little sisters. So then they give the full report to Radharani when they meet her. And so this is one thing. And delivering messages, we mentioned that. And it's phrased here, when will I give you both joy by bringing you each other's life-giving messages? When seeing each other has become difficult to control due to the control of your elders. So when they can't meet, then how to meet? Just like now, if you can't meet someone, then you communicate by SMS. Or chat or whatever, or phone, of course. But in those days, if Radha and Krishna couldn't meet, then Krishna would write some note, and then the mandri would carry it to Radharani, then Radharani would read it, and she'd write a reply, then they would carry it back. This is like the forerunner of chatting. So then Krishna would read Radharani's message, and he would write something, then they would take it to Radharani, then she would read it and write something, and they'd take it back. So this way the mandris and sakis get a lot of exercise and they get a lot of mahaprasadam reward also for running back and forth. And then this is describing, because we said one of the, these are some further examples to deepen our appreciation of these services. It's kind of a review. One of the services was to describe, to glorify the lover to the beloved, or the beloved to the lover. So this is describing Radharani's love to Krishna. Oh Krishna, when Radharani looks at a painting of you, Chandramukhi Radha thinks of you as the kajal for her eyes. And when Radharani hears of your qualities, she thinks of you as the lotus that decorates her ears. And when she meditates upon you in her heart, she thinks of you as the blue sapphire hanging on her breast like a necklace. O Krishna, in separation from you, Radha is feeling her heart to be completely empty. Though last night her Sakhi somehow or other persuaded Radha to take pan, here it is the morning, and the betel nut is still sitting in her mouth, and the pan leaf is still intact in her hand. Radharani was separated from Krishna. So then the gopis, they gave her some pan. This is the betel nut and pan leaf wrapped in betel nut inside the palm leaf with some katechu and some chuna and some raisins or different coconut, different things in different times of the year. There's hot pan and pan for the winter and pan for the summer, different seasonal pan tumble. So she just, ordinarily she likes to take this, and she just had it in her hand and she opened it. Just the betel nut was still sitting in her mouth. She hadn't spit it out or even chewed it, and the leaf was just in her hand. As soon as she contacted that, she went into a reverie of remembering Krishna's pond and became kind of stunned. So they were reporting this to Krishna. This is how she is in separation. She can't even, she takes the betel nut, puts it in her mouth, and just kind of sits there with it in her hand because she's missing you so much. So this is describing the intensity of her attachment and love. Oh, Lord of the universe, Radha's body is completely withered in separation. She's shrunken and become very thin from you. She has fallen off her bed onto the floor, and she's so weak and emaciated and fatigued, she's unable to lift herself up again. Oh, Murashatru, how can I describe fully the glories of Radharani's courage? Though she's merged in the ocean of separation from you, she still continues to carry the heavy burden of intense love for you. So this is a very pathetic description of Radharani's. She loves Krishna intensely, and that intense love she has for Krishna is like a heavy burden she's carrying, because she can't express it, she can't meet Krishna, she's in separation. So this is how the Sakhis are reporting to Krishna how much Radharani loves you and misses you. And what more? Oh Krishna, Radha sings aloud. Every message that you send her, every message, every sandesh, every message that you send her, Radharani sings it out loud. She reads it out loud. Just imagine if you got a love letter from someone. Oh, you're the greatest, and I never met anyone like you, and this and that. And you would read it out loud and say, oh yes, and how much this person admires me and respects me and honors me and is attracted and attached to me. And you want to hear that letter echoing and reverberating in the walls of your house, heart and mind. So you'll read it out loud. So this is what Radha's doing, reading Krishna's love letter out loud. And she reads aloud every word from some message you send her. And she even puts them to music. She puts them to music. She picks up her veena and starts playing her veena and singing them along with the veena. Can you imagine? It's very creative and artistic and unique. And then, if that's not enough, how madly in love Radharani is with Krishna, then she teaches those love letters, those songs of the love letters, or that she's turned into song, or the very content of those love letters. She has some pet mina birds. Mina birds are these little dark kind of brown birds with little orange eyes, and they're called minor birds, and they're right all around here. They sing quite a bit. They have a lot of different voices, very sweet and soothing voices. Not very big. They're about this big, bigger than a sparrow, but they're a lot less than there used to be. Having lived here 27 years and observing, and I'm here in Radhakund since 94 and over here for 10 years or so, and there's a lot less birds than there used to be. So few parrots. And a few years ago I had some of my friends, they brought some parrots from Delhi. They bought 120 parrots in Delhi. They purchased them. Actually, it's against the law. But they, you know, India. They're a protected bird, the green parrot. But they're available for sale. So they bought 120 of them that were for sale over there, would end up in somebody's house in a cage. And they brought them here in a truck, and they released them. And they released them from the... I was on the roof watching, over there on Chatikar Road behind me. And it was amazing that they were from Delhi, and they released the parrots, and they had a big, big cage, they had them all together. And when they released them, they're really reluctant to come out of the cage to begin with, because they had been like trapped in there for so many months or whatever. And they opened the gate, and my friends are saying, "Go, fly, you're free." So they came out, and then they hovered over, and they all collected together. And they're just a little bit, and immediately they went in a straight line to Radhakund. And that was my wish, because they could go anywhere. There's lots of trees. They could see. They could go up there in the bird's view. They could see trees at Kusum Sarovar. They could go in any direction. They can go to Mukurai. There's all kinds of forests and trees over there they could see from over. It was over there and on the road. And my intention was they would come here to Radhakund and sing for all the deities and repopulate, you know, some of the parrot species over here. And they cost money. They cost 500 rupees for one. So it's about 60,000 or so on the truck and all that. That was one of my sevas to Radharani. So then I was a gamble because it could go anywhere. I told the people that invested the money, I said, you know, that my desire is that they come there to serve Radharani and Krishna. I mean, Radha and Krishna everywhere, and temples everywhere, no doubt. No loss if there's more birds than Braj. That's a gain. So they all came and zip, they went over there. And then gradually I'd be at Damohan Temple or Manasapavangad or different places, and I would see, where I never saw parrots before, I'd see parrots coming out of these holes in the wall. You know, they came and moved into some hole in the wall and made a house. I was so happy. Huh? What does that mean?
On that
tree,
lots of parrots.
Yeah, okay. That's nice. Okay, that's it's. I'm not opening it up for parrot kata now. Everyone tell me a parrot story. But I'm just saying that talking about talking birds. So Radharani has these pet minor birds, which are very fewer and fewer now. Even I'm here for 10 years, and used to be about 10, 15 just flying all around here. Now there's two or three. And you know the vulture? There's a bird called the vulture. Have you ever seen in Vrindavan? I don't know how many years you've been here. But this bird, of course, lands on... They have a function. Their function is to eat up dead bodies. Because dead bodies produce germs and disease and plague and all that. So it's Krishna's arrangement. There's one very large bird that when a buffalo dies or a cow dies in the field or whatever, they land on it and eat them up. Dogs and vultures, they eat the whole bird till these bones. So then there's no... You know, they're kind of an ugly thing, the neck like that. This big wing spreads about 10 feet across. And another thing is when someone's about to die, someone has died in a house or about to die, you can tell by looking up in the sky and circling over. It's a large circle, so it includes many houses. But there'll be three or four or five vultures circling overhead. I mean, it could be way there or there, but if the house is, say, you know, there, they'll be circling like that, and you can look, and then you can try to locate where that is. Because I remember when I was in Radhadamodar in 1990, there was Prabhupada's kitchen, and there was Prabhupada's bedroom, and in between there were some apartments. Now the Goswami's children live over all in there. But then it was rented out to some man and his wife, some elderly retired people. And the man used to sit in the veranda and look at Damodar and chant his Gayatri in a chair at noon. And then one day I was out at the Yamuna and I saw these vultures going around in that area. It was a big circle they make, so it included many places, but also over the head of the temple. I thought, well, it's not inauspicious, it's an omen. It means that someone's about to die or died. So when I got back to the temple, everyone was crying. And the man was sitting in a chair. He went to do his Gayatri, he was chanting, and just went, this Hagel. And the guy's wife was hysterical for days. And very painful situation to be living there next to a wife who lost her husband. But at any rate, so that indicated that. Now that bird is now extinct in India. Maybe. And how so? Because they eat dead animals. And that's a natural, good thing they do. Now animals die and they're just stinking everywhere and disease. It's very bad. And what happened, they found out, the scientists, that they give so much injections to all these high-powered chemicals to fight disease now for all the buffalo and cows and everything. And it gets in their body, on their flesh. And so they live, the animal lives, and they just keep jacking, injecting all these chemical, quote-unquote, medicines. And they get stored up in the tissues of the animal when he dies. And then the bird, he ate those chemicals. And what happens is that it changed, the chemicals changed the DNA. It actually changed the genetic structure very quickly, over a short period of time. I mean, I've been here since 27 years, and there are so many vultures. I used to go to Yamuna, I see 10 vultures, 20, 50 vultures sitting on top of a buffalo, ta ta ta. It's quite an eye-opener. And dogs fighting vultures is like really a macabre scene. Hard, raw reality. But that scene you won't see anymore. It'll just be the dogs. But the... what happened was that they ate that, and then when the vultures would lay eggs, the female, the shell would not be hard. That they would lay an egg and it would come out, it'd be like jello, it'd be like soft. And then the fetus would just, it's just like diarrhea or something. Now the bird would lay an egg, it's supposed to be a hard egg, egg, dwija, and then sit on it, then the baby bird comes out. But when she laid the egg, it gets to come out like this liquid, like no egg. So that chemical affected the bird's ability to make an eggshell. So now they're extinct. Another contribution of the man to the world, modern science. So they're trying to be better gods than God, and there's so much backfiring reaction. Because a vulture is created by God, he's an extremely ugly bird, but he has a great function for human society, to digest all the dead animals so no one gets diseased. Anyway, it's not exactly Gopi Baba. But these are some of the realities. We're talking about, let's get back to the Leela. I mean, we're living in this hardcore reality, although we're hankering to go to that divine, beautiful, sweet place. But Radharani, when she gets a love message from Krishna, then she teaches her minor bird, with that little brown bird with the orange eyes, it's so talkative. You'll see them. They have like so many things. They gargle. You ever hear them? They go. Only when there used to be so many of them, they're all over the place, making the atmosphere very joyful, merry, and light. But now it's like a rare day when you hear one, or even see one. Very sad. You're looking around one by one, everyone's dropping off, getting extinct. Peacocks hardly any more in Vrindavan, parrots hardly any, minor birds hardly any. And all that will be left would be crows and pigeons. Dogs and pigs and monkeys, boss. We're laughing, but it's happening that way. Unfortunately, it's Kali Yuga. Anything good is very hard to get. impossible to get saffron, impossible to get pure sandalwood. All these things are rare and good and valuable for Krishna's service, but they disappear in the Kali Yuga. Jewels, gems, all these things. And all that's left is tamagun. So anyway, she gets a love letter and she teaches the bird the letter. And the bird sits around and speaks it to her. So they sit in the cage and they recite the love letter over and over again so Radharani listens to it. So this is what the Sakis, the news is, they're reporting. Now one Saki describes Krishna's love to Radharani. Hey Shyam, and this Gokul, excuse me, describing Krishna's love to Radha. Yes, that was Radha's love to Krishna. Radharani, in this town of Gokul, there are so many beautiful lotus-eyed girls who are very easy for this expert charmer to seduce. But you must have performed some great austerities in previous life, for this Damodar is attached to no one else other than you. So it's a nice way of saying how much Krishna is head over heels about Radharani, that even though there's so many beautiful seductive gopis in Vrindavan, Radharani has won his heart and is his favorite. Now she says, oh beautiful one, oh Sundari, Nanda Nandan is sighing in deep separation from you. He's in the forest sitting all by himself. And his head is bent down, and he's holding his head on his hands, sighing. He doesn't find any pleasure in wandering by the banks of the Yamuna, even though there's nice cooling breezes there. He's given up herding his cows. He's even stopped playing the flute because he's fallen in love with you. O most desired young romantic woman of Braj, Krishna is the most wonderful male in existence. He is expert in all aspects of romantic dealings. He is very affectionate and most handsome. Now it seems to me that if he himself comes to you seeking your grace, then you should be very cooperative. Could there be any greater gain in the universe than this, O beautiful one? So this is just kind of a review of the different services, like giving instructions, shiksha. We heard that shiksha was one of the sevas. And you want to hear more? This Chaitanya Charitamrita class is having difficulty these days. So this is arranging meetings of the divine couple. Oh, Radha and Krishna, when the two of you are searching in the forest of Vrindavan, looking unable to find one another, then I will arrange your meeting and bring you together. Well, this is Sankalpa Kalpaju. And then you'll be so happy that I brought you together that you'll reward me by giving me your pearl necklace. Can you imagine Krishna's looking in the forest looking for Radharani? Sounds like some movie, you know, one person's looking this way and the other person looking that way, and then they bounce into each other. Oh. So Radharani's looking for Krishna and Krishna's looking for Radha, and then so Radharani, the Sakis with Radharani or some Mandris with Radharani, and they're all looking. So then she runs, she has some idea, I think Krishna's over there. And she just quietly disappears from the Sakhi Samaj, Sakhi Sangha. She runs some secret way and she sees Krishna. Oh, there he is. Oh, Shyam, come, I know where Radharani is. Come with me, I know you're looking for her. Then he brings together, or rather she brings together to meet. So that's the seva, uniting, arranging meetings. So now this is giving shiksha. The Sakis will give beneficial instructions. O Padmalochan Radha, blinded with love, you have already offered your entire body of unequaled beauty to Govinda. Now why don't you glance at him with a little affection? After selling the elephant, what trader will argue over the price of the goad used to control it? So this is, in other words, Radharani has met Krishna in the Kunja. And he's played his flute, he's invited her and induced her, and and she's coming to the clinch, and she's sitting on the flower bed, and now she's just pretending to be disinterested and aloof. And the analogy that the Sakhi says, if someone, so now you've already come here, you've offered your entire, you brought your whole body here. If you didn't want to be here, why are you sitting on the flower bed? Now you're sitting next to Krishna, but you won't even glance at him. You're just like, oh, I'm not really interested. So then she's making a joke along with her shiksha. She said, listen, when you sell an elephant costs a couple lakhs. And an elephant goad, which is that curved little stick that they hook behind the ear of the elephant to control it, or poke it, or especially get behind the ear because he doesn't like that. Everyone's controlled in a different way. A bull is controlled through the nose, and a cow is controlled through the horns. An elephant's controlled through the back of the ear, and humans can't be controlled anyway. Only Rishikesh, only Krishna can control human beings. There's no way to control a human being except make him fall in love. You make a human being fall in love, that's the only way you can control him. As long as the love lasts, as soon as the love breaks, there's no more, he's out of control. So, a little more difficult than just a stick behind the ear. So once you've sold the elephant for 2 lakhs, why you argue over the stick which costs 20 rupees? So you mean Radharani, you've already sold yourself to Krishna, you're sitting next to him on the flower bed, now why are you not giving him a glance? Oh, you just give him a glance and everything else is done. And I think we should have some Chaitanya Charitamrita class also. So then tomorrow we'll hear some of the prayers about glorifying the services, the manjaris. And then the balance of the month, we'll hear about the wonderful services of Radharani performed by the Sakhis and manjaris at Radhakund in the afternoon.